Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity that's provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the information we need to have in order to take advantage of your grace. Understanding the purpose of all the various facets of your plan and policy as it rolled out throughout history, so that we can be take maximum advantage of your provision through our Lord Jesus. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit, that the information that is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our verse-by-verse study of Romans, last time we finished Romans 2:25, and we're seeing Paul basically criticize the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, who have misused the law made it a system of legalism for salvation, which it was not. They misinterpreted the law, thought they could be good on the basis of keeping it, rather than recognizing its real purpose was to bring them to Jesus. So in verse 25 of Romans 2, we finished that last time. It says, so on one hand, circumcision is beneficial or advantageous if you accomplish the purpose of the law. Now, the big thing to recognize here is the purpose of the law isn't morality. It's there. It's a consequence, but it's not the focus. Remember, it really, in John, it says that the law came from Moses, that grace and truth came from Jesus. So what we have is an incremental rollout of God's plan. And the law was designed to bring them to recognize that they couldn't keep it. And, of course, they didn't do that. They thought they could. And with the purpose of bringing them to the Savior. And Paul aptly says it, that the law is a schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. And that is the purpose. Now, there's secondary purposes for the law, and that would be morality. Well, what is that all about? It's about freedom. You can be in a tyrannical, legalistic country that is against Christianity, or even Christianity, I guess. You could say, that would be the case. The law would become an impediment because they're misusing the law for a system of tyranny. When you understand the Mosaic Law, its real purpose is freedom. And what is that about? That's about giving people free with the opportunity to express their free will towards Jesus. That's the agenda. Now, whatever they choose, I mean, again, the big problem you have in places is that people don't want opposition, and freedom gives them opposition. So it's more important. Freedom is more important than not having opposition. But what will happen is those in power attempt to suppress opposition, and they'll use the law to do that, and that's actually evil. And so that's an evil application of the law. And the Jews were doing that too. If we remember, you go back. Paul was actually, before he was struck down on the way to Damascus, was actually acquiring letters from the Sanhedrin to take it into other places to capture and bring believers in Jesus, who were Jews, back to the Sanhedrin for prosecution. And he was involved with the murder of Christians in that process because they believed that believing in Jesus was contradictory to their viewpoint. But that was the real purpose of the law. So they were completely off track here. So on one hand, circumcision is beneficial if you accomplish the purpose of the law, which is salvation, adjustment to God's justice through faith in Christ. See, that's the objective. So the law is an incremental disclosure of God's perfection, designed to demonstrate that we're unable to keep it on our own. But God provides the answer through the seed of the woman, the Lord, or Jesus, as we go through time. And he's revealed more accurately. Well, more specifically, I guess would be the best way to say it. More data, because that's what happens. The church age is area of maximum data. We have maximum information available through the ministry of the Spirit, and we have maximum power to implement God's plan through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's the power options of the spiritual life. So, through faith in Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, you are a transgressor of the law. Your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So what's happening here is, since they're using the law for morality, and trying to be saved on that basis, which they can't, which won't happen, then they're actually misusing the entire system. Even though they're in an advantage. Remember, the Jews were privileged. They're still privileged. I mean, you can't be a child of Abraham and not be a beneficiary of that by blessing by association. Now, the problem is sometimes an advantage is a disadvantage if you misuse it. And that's what's happened. Now, that's happening in the United States today. People don't understand the real basis of our blessing, and it comes from the Word of God and the basis of truth. And they think that just anybody here can be associated with this. But they can't really be, because eventually we'll reach a critical mass where, and we've already kind of reached it, where negative volition to truth overcomes positive volition to truth. And that negative volition will select individuals to lead the country, since we are a republic for now. And eventually we're going to become a democracy and an oligarchy, or so-called democracy with an oligarchy. We kind of are there already. Where the people who are ruling are against the truth. And that's what we're up against. Because what's happening is they're promoting their secular humanistic viewpoint of the world, and making a religion out of it. It's a fake religion. It's all false. It's false gods. But nonetheless, it becomes the zeitgeist of the country. And that's what we're facing at this point. And we have, I mean, the problem is they're carrying the day at the moment, at least from a political perspective. It seems like it anyway. We'll see if that really, that is true. But the people in this country have a direct influence on the leadership by the voting machine, voting process. Now, they've perverted that too. So now you can't really trust that the votes are being accurate or properly handled, or the system is being properly run. You know, because people who are not responsible or not in charge, the Constitution addresses who's supposed to be the arbiters of the voting system. That would be the legislatures of the state. But that's not who's running the show anymore. It's the judiciary that is. And the legislature aren't standing up and taking names. They should be, but they're not. I mean, that's what happened last time, or last in 2020. And somewhat in 22, you know, actually it happened in 2018. So, I mean, I allege that they stole all three of the elections in some cases. You know, not maybe everywhere, but in some places. From 2018, 2020, and 20. They're creating a system that lets them do that through the judiciary, which they shouldn't be allowed to do. But, you know, that's the problem is that people have lost the thinking of the country. They don't understand why we are who we are. And why we have what we have. So ultimately, they're not going to have any of it, is what's going to happen. Because God will, at some point, remove his blessing on our nation, and we'll be under a curse, not under a blessing. We may be there already, we don't know. So, but the issue is the pivot, the believers. The issue is believers. What's their position on this? It's not just what unbelievers do. They really don't count. Although they can pervert believers. I mean, that's the thing you got to realize. If you get unbelievers who are demon-possessed running a show, like in the government, and I think that's what we've had here with some of our leadership, then they can influence believers who are saved and going to heaven, but they're influenced by demon doctrines, and they fall for the lie. So it's what the believers do in response to that that's the issue. You've got to recognize that and not fall for it. Because what they do is they're making a good story. I mean, it's going to be better, they think. Well, it is from their perspective, maybe, because there's no law anymore. At least no true law. It's a lie. So this tells us that the ritual, if meaningless, is meaningless without corresponding reality in the thinking. Because there's no reality in ritual, the reality always lies in the doctrine that makes ritual meaningful. See, that's the thing we got to realize. The doctrine, and when you look at Abraham, see, Abraham was the predicate for circumcision. The national entity of Israel, the first Jewish nation coming out of Egypt, was the predicate for the law. All right? So you had to have the predicate before you had the ritual or the process. So Abraham believed in God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So that set him up with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to set up the Jewish race. And then you have Moses freeing the Israelites. The ones who came through the sea were baptized in that. That was a dry baptism, but it was a baptism. They're identified. Remember, baptism means identified. They're baptized in that process of leaving Egypt, which is a picture of coming out of sin. And it was subsequent to that that they received the law. See, that was, and that law was for what? Freedom. That was their constitution, basically. The law was their constitution. So they were a theocracy, as they should be, and as they needed to be, given the time frame of their activity. Because they were designed to be separate because of the seed of the woman. We, on the other hand, are a republic. Constitutional republic democratically elected, and the purpose here is maximum freedom as well. But the baseline for all that freedom is the principles of God's word. People chafe at that in some cases. I mean, put it this way, people who want to have be libertine, remember, libertine means there's no law. You can do anything. There is no, the law isn't telling you no. Well, the law tells us no for our own protection, and it tells us no for freedom. If you look at our country, you can't go in certain places in the country. Why? There's no law. That's why you can't go there. The police are they're either not there or they're feckless. They choose to be because of the politicians. So you just can't go there at certain times of the day, or maybe ever. Okay? What is that? Is that freedom? No, it's not. So the law breaking in that case destroys freedom, and of course that destroys ultimately freedom. Freedom to believe in Jesus ultimately, because they're gonna wrap it around and attack Christians with it. They already are doing that. So doctrine must be in the soul for this ritual to be meaningful, because neither ritual of circumcision nor the activity of law keeping can provide salvation or spirituality. Now, on the back side of this thing, circumcision was simply something that was designed to identify the Jews. But law keeping, on the other hand, becomes the output of spirituality. But it's a grace-oriented law keeping. You know, you recognize the purpose of the law isn't more directly to be more moral per se, but it's to be in alignment with God and to fulfill His objectives. Now, the law is holy, just, and good. See, you can't ever diminish that. It just doesn't show us show people how they get there. That's the problem. And they misunderstand that, and so they think they can be good by keeping it, and they really can't keep it. Because only a spiritual person can keep it properly. And that's what they're missing. And we'll see that in verse 27. So if therefore, we have our first, let's just read through 26 here in both translations. So we have the New American Standard starting out. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? See, Paul is flipping it right around on him. They're saying you got to be circumcised to keep the law, and they're saying, well, if this guy is circumcised, is a believer in Jesus, and he's fulfilling the law, isn't that better or the same? Oh, yeah, it is. It's actually better, because they got where they needed to be. You didn't, because you misused the law. And the way it reads in the Nestle Allen, let's see. If then, if though, we're very similar. The circumcision, the right thing of the law, might guard. So that means to keep and to hold. Protect, not this uncircumcision of him into circumcision will be reason, logic. That's our logigitimos. Logic is isn't it rational that he's actually got there on the basis of believing in Jesus? And that's what Paul's making that case. So if therefore we have a third class condition clause translated from aeon un, that's our first two words. There's our aeon, and there's our un, right there at the front. You see that? Is how the verse begins. Aeon is a conditional conjunction if. So there's our third class. introducing a third class condition. Remember, if maybe it's true and maybe it's not. Eon plus the subjunctive own is an inferential particle that is used to denote whatever is introduced from the previous sentence. So Paul's continuing the discussion from the previous verse. And it's inferred, so we translate it if therefore. So the next third class condition is predicated upon the previous. So we could use it. So the New American Standard says so if. A better way to look transfer that is therefore if. Because you're referencing the prior verse in this next verse. So it's a chain. And it's a series of chains, actually, here. You've got a whole bunch of if-then clauses that are being chained together. And they ultimately bring us down to the conclusion that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled by believing in Jesus. Not by overrote law-keeping and legalism. And not by being circumcised. Because the end game, it's a question, it goes back to this, lots of things in life are like this. You know, why do you go to church? That's a big question. You have a mandate in Hebrews. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as a manner of some is. Well, what's the purpose of going to church? Is it to have a party? Is it to have a social club? No. It's to learn doctrine. So, can you learn doctrine without going to church? Yes. All right. Now, is it still beneficial to go to church? Yeah. Well, it's beneficial to have face-to-face teaching. Okay, but do you have to have face-to-face teaching? No. Can you fulfill the objectives of going to church by learning the doctrine some other way? Yes. Can you always go to church? No. Do you just go to church to go to church? Oh, there's a big one. Huh. Do you go to just any church because you're supposed to go to church? No. You're not supposed to just go to any church just to go to church. The objective is to learn the doctrine. So the objective, so going to church, the purpose for that, it says for the purpose of encouragement. That relates to the Holy Spirit. Well, how does that work? That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit working in the congregation who's listening to a pastor teacher and the filling of the ministry of the Spirit. That's it. So that's why you go to church. So these guys would miss that all up. They would go to church just because they want to go. They think they're supposed to go to church. See, that's ritual without reality. Or if you go to church for the wrong reason, it's a big club. It's a country club. That's ritual without reality. So you can go to church for the wrong reasons. A lot of people do. That's the problem with Christianity today. There's a lot of people going to church who believe in Jesus, who are not advancing in the spiritual life because they're not being taught to be filled with the Spirit. See, the filling of the Spirit is the sine qua non of the spiritual life. You can't be in the spiritual life without the filling of the Spirit. So if you're not using rebound or something of that sort, rebound is just a coined term to describe the process. If you're not filled with the Spirit, by whatever mechanism you would get there, that would be evaluating yourself in terms of God's Word and making choices, yes and no, and recognizing failure and moving on, well, in other words, changing your mind, then if you've got a way to do that, we're good to go. I don't care how you do it. I mean, the Bible's clear about how to do it if you want to do it easy. That is 1 John 1:9. Okay, it's real simple. There's other passages and other places that describe the similar process, but that's the most succinct way of doing it. So, if therefore, the uncircumcision, that's our next phrase, the New American Mary says uncircumcised man, over here in the New American, it says in the uncircumcision. Okay, so this is the nominative singular from the acrosobia, referring to the Gentiles. Remember, that's a code word. When you see circumcision and uncircumcision in Paul, those are code words for Gentile and Jew, and by extension, unbeliever and believer, normally. Now, in this case, it's weird because you've got circumcised people who are unbelievers, and you've got uncircumcised people who are believers. Huh, that's weird because that's the opposite of normal. See, most Gentiles, but Paul, that's the case Paul's making. He's making the case that these guys who didn't have the law are saved, going to heaven. They fulfilled the law, and you haven't, you people who had the law. See, that's why he's beating on them, actually. Because the Gentiles fulfilled the law, not by keeping it, but by believing in Jesus. See, that trumps everything. You know, when you believe in Jesus, boom, that's the end game. That is the purpose of the law. the primary purpose. Now, again, there's other factors in there. Morality is not bad. You won't stay moral if you're believing in Jesus and filled with the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will be convicting you. That's why the predicate for keeping the law is spirituality, to keep it properly, that is. So you're not going to be a legalist doing it, because you understand its purpose. The law was given for our advantage, not our disadvantage. It was not given to beat us up. That's why Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Well, he wasn't beating them up with it. Because you could use the law as a switch. And it's a pile on, and that's what the Pharisees had done. So, referring here to the Gentiles, a person who has not had the ritual circumcision, that's an advantage. The person who has not had the privilege of having the Mosaic Law to evangelize him and to teach him about the Lord. If, therefore, the uncircumcised, that's our next phrase, keep the righteousness of the law, that's how it's translated in the New American Standard, but we're going to see this word keep is a bit different, actually properly meant to. Keep means to defend, to guard, to protect, and when used with nomos means to observe or to keep the law. The question, though, is what's the end game of the law? What's it really? The real end game of the law is to bring you to Jesus. That's what you got to realize. And morality, proper morality will get you there because you'll have freedom. Okay? So that's the point Paul is making. The present tense is a retroactive progressive present, denoting what has begun in the past and continues into the present time. So these Gentiles have accomplished the purposes of the law without having it. See, that's why Paul is so incensed with the Galatians when they had been saved by grace and faith alone, and then the Judaizers had come along and they'd all gotten circumcised. Because they said, wow, that's good, that's better. Well, no, it wasn't, because it was actually an impediment. It was getting in the way of the truth of it all. That was passé at that point. They'd passed all that. They didn't need it. See, because they'd already been saved. And if salvation was the fulfillment of the whole process, including circumcision, if you want to involve that. I mean, the circumcision was an identifier with the Jews, through Abraham, which was an advantage. If it was used as an advantage. Remember, that one of my key phrases I haven't used in a long time is that there are no advantages to the advantage without the advantage. Now, that's a play on words, but it's kind of interesting. You can have all the benefits of having all the good stuff and everything is set up for you and you're in a position of power and privilege, but without the advantage of those things would give to you, you don't have their advantage. That means without believing in Jesus, you've got nothing. In the case of salvation. Or, in the case of the spiritual life, you can't be spiritual without the filling of the Spirit. Okay? The advantage in both cases, one is believing in Jesus, the other is being spiritual, filled with the Spirit. See? So, you can have all these accoutrements that are advantageous to you, but they're not an advantage to you unless you're actually taking advantage of them to be what you're supposed to be, that is, believing in Jesus and filled with the Spirit. See, that's the point. So if a person jumps right into the filling of the Spirit or jumps by believing in Jesus without the law, without circumcision, then they've accomplished all the objectives that were required. Boom. Done. Now we move on. Okay? And that's what Paul's going to be doing here. Always, in every generation, there are certain people who have never heard of circumcision. They're not familiar with the Jewish race. And who have, in other words, they don't have a Bible. New Testament or Old Testament. I mean, they don't have a Bible from the Western civilization point of view. Judeo-Christian, okay, that involves that. So they got a New and an Old Testament. It's all described really in the Old Testament, Tanakh, who have never heard of circumcision and who have never heard or seen the Mosaic Law, and yet these people have produced the righteous objective of the law. And Paul is constantly using them to make this point, that you didn't need that necessarily. You just had to be taught the truth about Jesus. And you had to believe it. Because remember, the power is in the gospel. It's not anywhere else. The gospel is the power for salvation. That is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe who he is, the Son of God, who came and died for you on the cross so that you could be perfect. You know? And you're saved on that basis. That's it. That's all. You don't need the law to do that. You need freedom. But these countries had freedom. I mean, you can look at the Roman empire, with their rules and regulations, were pretty free. And you could make the case that they were freer than the Jews. And the Jews should have been freer. But they misused the law to create a tyranny. See, so that's the thing. The issue is the Word of God. And the end game is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And when you believe that, then you understand that and you move on with it, you're good. You don't have to go through all this whole, you don't have to go through this whole rigmarole, is my point. It is an advantage to people who have it, but maybe, if they use it right. And that's what he's making. That's the point he's making. The active voice, a Gentile without the ritual circumcision and without the rich spiritual heritage of the Mosaic law, produce the action. The subjunctive mood, again, is a third class that implies the future reference is a rule, but with the potential, with the principle of contingency. In other words, they may or may not get there from here. Now, the Gentiles have a lot of problems, too, because they have their own ideas about who God is. And that's what Paul is doing up there in Mount Olympus, talking down off the big rock up there to the marketplace, the Agora. Now, I'm here to represent the one true God. See, they had idols to all these gods. I mean, if you go to the Parthenon, you see it. Well, what's left of it? It's pretty impressive. So, you know, but Paul is there making the case that Jesus was the one true God, and all these other ones were non-factor. And a lot of people believed. See, that was the thing. Because they had some preconceived ideas, but they weren't as clear as Paul. But the Holy Spirit, of course, was helping as he communicated to Doc, because the Holy Spirit was convicting them of it. So that's why the church really blossomed in the Gentile realm, because it wasn't under assault from the Jews, who had misapplied the doctrine of the law. And, for that matter, the doctrine of the seed of the woman and all that. They supplied it. They didn't understand it. So we have, plus, the accusative plural direct object from dikasomai, that means righteousness. The requirements there, dikasune, it means righteousness, basically. It has to do with the right things. There's the right things, an ordinance, a sentence, or an acquittal. So this is doing the proper end game here. What does the law demand? Well, it really demands you to believe in Jesus. That's where it's going to get its power. That means the requirements or regulations pertaining to the law. Originally, it meant a legal claim, but here it means a righteous requirement with the source of nomos. That's our word law. That means righteousness requirement from the law. So again, the righteous requirement of the law was not, as the Jews thought, to be a moral person for salvation. The righteous requirements of the law were to believe in Jesus. And why is that? Well, Jesus is the end of the law for, believing in Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness for all who believe. That's telos nomos. End of the law. So Jesus completely fulfilled the law. He's the only one that could. And we understand that process. Because you had to be perfect to do it. We're not. So we're out of position inherently in Adam. But we get in Christ by grace and faith alone. And then we're in the right position, and all the accoutrements of the process are accrued to us. So the Protestants are the third class position is, if therefore the uncircumcised Gentile keeps the law, the righteous requirements of the law, ... Getting into the next phrase. Now he's going to turn around and flip it on back on the Jews, because they are actually uncircumcised, even though they're circumcised. You know, isn't that ironic? It's sad. Really, it is. It's sad. They had all the advantages and privileges, but they misapplied them. So next comes a question that is used as an apodosis. So this is the then side. It begins, remember, if then, is apodosis. It's a beginning with a strong negative ook, which is a question, implying that the answer to the question is yes. Now, the answer is not provided in the document. It's implied. So basically, it's a way of questioning. He's using a debater system where a question is engaged that creates demands an answer. It demands an answer. And in this case, the demanded answer is yes. Okay? And that, I mean, you can lead people along that way with that kind of a phraseology. You can lead them into responding to a question in a way that has to be, they have to answer yes, because that's the only thing that's left for you to say. So along with the nominative singular subject, acro bestia, that was a reference to the uncircumcised Gentile. Here we are, uncircumcision. There's our word circumcision. There's our acrobustia. So we see it over here, and you'll see it better. There's our acrobustia. Here we go. This is a reference to the uncircumcised Gentile with the possessive genitive singular from the intensive pronoun autos used as his. So basically it's a pronoun like him, her, you know, in this case his. So we have, will not his uncircumcision, that would be the Gentile's uncircumcision. The verb is the future indicative from logizomai, be considered. It means to be regarded. See the regarded here? Regarded means logic, logizomai, it means to be. It's a logical or mathematical case made. There's our word logic. Over here it's regarded. In the end it's reasoned, thought, analyzed, considered to be. That's what it means. So it's a means to reckon, to calculate, to credit. It's typically a used of, you know, when you do books for a business. You have adding and subtracting that goes along. It determines what you actually did when you subtract your expenses from your income, gross income. To be regardless or thought of. Here it's translated to be regarded or to be evaluated as. So the final determination is considered here. That's the point. So what he's making the case is that these uncircumcised people are circumcised. Even though they're not. Because they are. Well, they're circumcised in the right place. Their head. You know, that's the point. The thinking. We talked about that last time, I think. Or the time before. But we went back to the Old Testament and saw in Jeremiah that these people are uncircumcised in their heart. Even though they are circumcised. Remember, because to be a Jew, you had to be circumcised, and you didn't have any choice there. You were circumcised on the eighth day when you're a baby. So you had nothing to do with that. Your parents did. So it was your parents' doctrine that had you circumcised to perpetuate the identity in Abraham, which was great because it set the person who was circumcised up with the question, why was I circumcised, if they care? And they should care because there's huge benefit to it. And then they can make the right call based on what they learn. So it's that was the purpose for it. Because ultimately it goes back to, what did Abraham do that caused him to be circumcised? Or that caused him for God to have him be circumcised? He believed in Jesus. And he trusted that God was faithful. That he would do what he said. Alright? Well, so there, Abraham's in a position of spiritual maturity. What was the issue with him? He wanted a kid who would inherit all his stuff. God had given him all these promises, like your children are going to be like, your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky, and like the sand on the seashore. Well, that's a lot of people. That's a big influence. So he wanted that to go to somebody he cared about a lot. And he picked one of his generals. He didn't have an heir. Sarah couldn't have a baby. And then they played the game with Hagar and had Ishmael, and God says, no, it ain't going to be him either. If you're going to have one with Sarah, and she laughed. That's why his name was Isaac. Laughter. So anyways, Abraham was getting to the cognitive reality that God was going to come through for him even once he got past the point where he could do anything himself. Well, that's kind of what has to happen, right? You have to come to the end of yourself regarding your goodness before you can accept the grace of God on the basis of faith alone. You come to the point where you not recognize, I can't do this. At least not properly. I can try, but it ain't good enough. And so you believe in Jesus. That's your answer. Boom. Saved. All the things you were busting your butt to get, you have. Handed to you. See, that's what God does, and that's what he did with Abraham. So the future tense is a deliberative future for a question of uncertainty, expressed as a future active. It is a rhetorical question, but it takes the place of a direct assertion that is used as a nuance of a debater's technique. So Paul just flips it around to create a situation where they have to respond to him in the positive. Because he leaves no option for them to say no. If this is true, then that has to be true. So he basically overpowers them. I mean, it's really no longer even though it's presented as a third class, it really isn't. It's a first class in that case. It has to be. The objective was acquired by faith in Jesus. The passive voice, the subject, the uncircumcised Gentile, receives the action of the verb. Remember, we talk about voices quite often. And remember, that just simply shows the direction of activity. In the case of the Gentile, in this case, they believed. So the object came back on them, or the power came back on them, and they were the beneficiary of the process. They weren't circumcised, but they were uncircumcised. They were circumcised. They were uncircumcised, but they were circumcised. Now, that's an enigma. But they are, because when you become a believer in Jesus, all the benefits associated with Israel accrue to you, and more, because you're now the new spiritual species. So, and Paul goes in other places and basically describes a fact that the advantages of the Jew are completely absorbed in the advantages of the church, because the church supersedes it all. It's greater. So you did have an advantage, yeah, but as soon as you became a believer in Jesus, you were a super creature, which takes a whole other level. Now, you made the example of moving from a master sergeant to a general. Boom. Okay, that's what happens when you become a church-age believer, because the greatest in the Old Testament is superseded by the least in the New. That's the power of Jesus. They didn't deserve it. Nobody does. That's what happens. Your new identity is in Christ. And that's the code word, in Christ. So, the indicative mood is interrogative with the rhetorical question. Then the preposition eis, plus the accusative of petrome, that we have here. There's the last couple words here. We have eis, is where? There it is. Eis. Into circumcision. So the uncircumcised becomes circumcised. This is what the last two... logically, that's the last word right there, 26. So the rational conclusion is because the uncircumcised Gentile believed in Jesus, they were effectively circumcised. Logically. Right? Yeah. That's what happened. Because why? Because that was the objective of the law and the circumcision. So you don't have to go back and redo all that stuff, because that's old time. The law still has its place where related to spirituality as an indicator, not as a prerequisite. It's an indicator. It's translated as circumcision. So will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? ? And then, because of the oak, we saw the oak way back up here. Where's that at? It's not there. I forget which one it is. One of these words up here, that it's reflexive. The uk, let's see where we're at. The is implied answer is that is not written, so we don't see that in the words. We jump to 27 here, right after recognize reason here. Logizomai, there's our logizomai. That's the end of that verse. That yes, it will is not there, but it's implied. That's the point. So, our expanded translation of 26, 2. If, therefore, the uncircumcised Gentile observes the righteous requirements of the law, which is to believe in Jesus, will not his uncircumcision be evaluated as circumcision? ? And the answer, in parenthesis, I put in, yes, it will. Why? Because the law has been fulfilled. Then we have that all over the place in Paul's writings. Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for all who believe. It's everywhere. There will be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No, so we have the great imputation, the righteousness of God by faith, by grace and faith alone. It's all over the place. It shows how that actually plays. So this principle here is that while ritual cannot account for reality, reality can account for ritual. See, the point is the Jews are making a big issue of all this ritual. Well, church people do that. I just mentioned that with the church going. Going to church. Is it a good thing to go to church? Yeah. But you better do the right thing there. It's not about a social club. It's about learning doctrine. So are you learning doctrine at church? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, good. Keep going. If you're not, might want to find a different church. Okay. A different assembly. A different pastor. Because you're really not assigned to a church. You're assigned to a pastor. It's another topic. So ritual is for those who don't know the doctrine. until they learn the doctrine and become strong in the doctrine. See, the purpose is to learn the doctrine. If you already have the doctrine, you don't need it, the ritual. You know, that's why I kind of eschew ritual. I mean, there's places for it. I understand it, but I think it gets in the way more often than it helps. Because people think they're good by keeping the ritual rather than by learning the doctrine. And that's not true. And that's bad. That's where the Jews were. That was their problem. They thought they were righteous by their identity. In fact, they told Jesus that. That's in John 8. They said, well, we're Abraham's seed. And Jesus looks at them and says, yeah, but you got to be what he did. What's going on here? You know, they thought they were good because they were Abraham's kids. And they weren't. They were evil. So, you know, just having the right gene pool wasn't sufficient. It never was. You really not, we talked about that I think last time, you're not really a true Jew unless you're a believer in Jesus. Because you can't receive the benefits of Abraham unless you're a believer. You've got to be in eternity to get it. And the only way you get there is believe in Jesus. Now, in whatever time frame, different words for different time frames, but today it's Jesus. So the strong really don't need the ritual, because the reality is the doctrine, and the ritual that the ritual is. Now, there's nothing wrong with ritual per se. In fact, it does provide us with a stopping point for us to sit down and analyze what it's about. We got Thanksgiving as a ritual. We keep Thanksgiving. It's one of the holidays we have. Okay? That's a ritual. The Bible says to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. All right? So that's a constant reality, if you know the doctrine. But if you don't, the Thanksgiving gives you an opportunity to rethink that, right? So it brings it back up front and center. You can talk about it and see that it's a critical component of spirituality. All right? So you can keep Thanksgiving and not be thankful. But if you have an attitude of Thanksgiving all the time, you don't really need Thanksgiving. That's the point. It's that simple. You know, the reality is the ritual. The doctrine. That's what you want to have. The doctrine is the issue. And if the ritual can come and go, it may help somebody for a while. I think it typically gets in the way, becomes legalistic. But that's just my opinion. Verse 27. All right. And so let's agree through these two. And he who is physically, that's an interesting translation for that word, uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who, though having a letter of the law and circumcision, are the transgressor of the law? Interesting. So the guy who's not circumcised but believed in Jesus is going to be in the catbird seat here, right? Why? Why is that? Judge. He's going to judge you. No, we don't judge people. We let them be what they are. But at the same time, in the end, there's going to be a judgment made. And it's called in one case, it's being evaluated by Jesus. In the other case, it's the great white throne. Now, Jesus is actually doing the judging. But the principle is you're making an evaluation here. So if we look at that over here on the other side, and, so it starts with the same word. Boom, 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 boom. We'll judge the from nature. There's our word nature. It's translated over here physical. But we're going to see that transition. That's pretty cool. Uncircumcision, the law completing you, the through the letter and circumcision transgressor of the law. So this is where the flip occurs. You know, basically he's taking the case here that these uncircumcised Gentiles have accomplished without the law and without circumcision what the Jews hadn't. And they'd become circumcised, and the other guys hadn't. They'd become uncircumcised. In there, you can in the time the Bible was written, the context was Gentile and Jew. But now we're talking believer and unbeliever. That's bigger. That's really the game. I mean, in the end, do you have eternal life in heaven, or are you going to be in a lake of fire forever? Right? Big difference, right? And that's what's going on here. So when you see uncircumcision here, it's unbeliever going to a lake of fire. And circumcision is, if it's applied, the uncircumcised circumcised is going to heaven. The circumcised uncircumcised is going to hell. Not a good thing. So the Jew who had all in his context, the Jew, and it could be believers too, you know, because believers got legalistic. I think they're a big impediment to truth to people sometimes, legalism. We talked about that earlier, one of the verses addressed this. The fact that God's name was blasphemed because of the people who represented or claimed to represent God didn't properly represent him. Well, I think Christians do that more often than they think. I think you've got to be really careful with that. So, whatever. I'm just saying, what the believer does is critical, because you're standing before God when you do it. So, he who is physically uncircumcised, or what you're alleging to be, is being evaluated. Physically uncircumcised, that's how it starts out. That's what the New American Standard says. Is the intensive use of chi, that's our and, that is translated and instead of in fact. So we're going to derive that word a little bit here, because it's a simple word. It's used all over the place. So here we have the connective use of chi means and. That means you're just stacking things together. It's a run-on. Then you have adjunctive use of chi means also. And a sensive use of chi means even. So you translate this one word the same, different ways, depending on how it's used in the sentence. And then in our case here, the intensive use of chi normally means in fact. Right? So, but it's translated and here. And it's actually translated and here. It's interesting. It could be translated any one of those. Actually, it could be translated in fact. In fact, that's a better translation. Because Paul is building, he's building an argument. And he's building his case by case. Third class condition. You've got all these if and else clauses going on. And he's stacking up the data. So the previous sentence tells us what he's building on here. The law will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? So the case, the final statement in the previous verse, remember, verses don't exist. Verses are there for our benefit. That way we can find them. And we can go find them with the words and stuff with computers. Otherwise you got one big run-on thing with no punctuation. That's the way it is. So the people back in the day went and they cut them out. Sometimes the cuts aren't really perfect. But they're still beneficial, because that way you've got a place to how to get that from here. How do you get where that statement is made? Do you know? I mean, it's in, okay, you say it's in Romans. Where? There's 20-some chapters. Well, the way it's written down. So, no, in this case, it's 2 verse 27. So again, it's like putting it into a grid. And then you can tie the words down so you know where they are. So it makes it much easier to study. Otherwise, it would be very, very, very hard to even find your way back to where you were. So today it's real easy with our technology. So we have the various uses of the words chi or and. And in this case, it's a intensive use that should be or could easily be based on the previous statement, in fact. And so the last statement was, if he keeps the requirements of the law, that is to believe in Jesus, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And the answer to that question is yeah. So he's a Gentile who didn't get circumcised, never had the law, but he believed in Jesus, as was the case with a lot of Paul's people. Well, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, to the church. So yeah, he did. There was lots of them. And the majority. I mean, that's all of us. I mean, here, pretty much, we're not Jews. And the Jews don't even know what they know anymore. Hardly. So, whatever. These guys didn't know what they knew either. They were completely off base. So he who is physically uncircumcised, that of course, who is that? That would be a Gentile, right? The subject, acrophobia, or bustia, that's our word for circumcised, in the nominative singular, again, refers to the uncircumcision. There is also a definite article that denotes previous reference to the context, so I just noted that. And then the preposition ek translated from, with the ablative of physis, that means nature or natural. So that's interesting. That physical is actually a transliteration, but it actually means nature or natural. So if we look at our word physis, there's our physically. There's the word, see, it looks a lot like, in the Greek, it looks like physical. So that's a transliteration. But what's it? See what it translates? They translate over here as nature. Why is that? Because that's what it actually means. It's when something happens according to the way nature is. Well, people are not uncircumcised coming out of the womb. That happens 8 days later if you're a Jew. Okay, or at least it's supposed to. You know, that's all. So, and of course, other people have adopted those rituals and for similar reasons, identifying with Jesus, I suppose, but they're not part of their culture. Well, they weren't by God anyway. They are now because they've adopted it. So physis, that means nature or natural. The ablative of means is used not the regular case for means, but when the source is implied, then the ablative is used for means. As a literal translation, this is in fact the uncircumcised Gentile by nature. That's a literal translation. And that's how it's translated over here, if you notice. We see our word nature. So, but the literal translation does not bring out the idiom that creates a better translation. That is, in fact, the physically uncircumcised Gentile. Now, that gives us more specificity, right? Because they are by nature that way, if you think about it. That's how they came from Mama. And they operated on the Jewish guy on the eighth day. Right? So in this case, it's a physical thing. And that was what God was doing. He was representing Abraham's spiritual position in maturity with his circumcision. And that became the gateway to the Jewish race, ultimately, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the whole race was invented there by God as part of the Semites. This is reference to the Gentile who was outside the priest nation of Israel. So remember, that would be us. See, we're in a client nation, but we're not in a priest nation. Remember, Israel is the only priest nation. Why? Well, they have a specialized priesthood. That would be the Levitical priesthood. We don't. We have a universal priesthood. And the priesthood is really where the action is, because that's where you represent yourself and others to God. That's the power of the spiritual life. You have the ability to actually, you are a priest. In the church, everybody's a priest. Without the ritual of circumcision, and without the doctrine of the Mosaic law, and therefore without all of the privileges that the Jews had. See, they had all kinds of privileges because of their identity with Abraham. And rightfully so. I mean, people chafe on the word privilege these days, because they don't understand it. But if you're a believer in Jesus, you really have privilege. Now, maybe they're chafing at that, probably. They don't want to recognize that. But they don't have a choice, because God's going to make it happen. And he runs the show. Ultimately, he may allow the devil to have his way for a while, but the Lord runs the show. So if he keeps the law, that's our next, keeps the requirements of the law. The present active participle from teleo, keeps there is our word, let's see, keeps, teleo, no, requirements, that's it. The kasune is righteous, oh, I'm in the wrong verse, sorry. Keeps is our word, teleo. Now this is interesting, see, the word up here translated keeps is philuso. And the word translated down here is teleo. Now that's a big change. Philuso is totally different than phileo. Teleo, I should say, teleos. Teleos is, well, let's look at the definitions. That's the definition here. It says, translated, keep 23 times, observe twice, beware twice. I mean, I have to keep reading that fine print. If I do it over here, maybe it'll be a little easier to read. Get the key up here. There it is right there. It means to guard or to watch in, that's phileso. Okay, that's the word that's translated keep in 26. Now we got a different word translated keep, and I think this is a bad translation. And you're going to think so too when I get done. So anyways, so here's our keeps in verse 27, which really illuminates the nature of the law, the purpose of the law. That's the thing that's really critical here. So let's see here. We judge from, where's our word keep? Nature, uncircumcised, the law completing. There we go. See, they translate it in the New American Standard, not in the Nestle-Yowen, complete. Now that's a good translation of teleo. Complete. Finish. Accomplish. The word that Jesus used on the cross at the end before he dismissed his spirit, to tetelestai. That comes from this root. Now that's a perfect tense. Finished in the past, which results to go on forever. That this here is completing. So it's much better to have completing as a translation than keep. Because keeping infers that you just apply the rote of the law. Well, that's what the Jews were doing and didn't help them. You see, that wasn't the purpose. The purpose of the law is to bring you to Jesus. That's the point. And that's what we're going to say here in our translation. The translation. So if he keeps the law, the present active participle from teleo is better translated accomplishes the purpose or fulfills, completes, finishes. See, that's really what that word means. It doesn't mean keep in the same sense as the previous one. And you can see that right here, just playing right for you. It's the phileo, and then down here it's teleo. Okay, and that leads to misunderstanding about the purpose of the law. A lot of people think you just got to keep the law. Well, no. See, that's not a prerequisite for believing. And that's what the Jews were making the case. They were thinking you should believe. You've got to have the law before you can understand this. No, that's not necessary. You do have it. It's an advantage to you, maybe. In their case, it wasn't. But it wasn't helpful because they use it against Jesus, not for him. That was a bad thing, what they did. The present tense of the futuristic present denotes an event that has not yet occurred, but is regarded as being so certain that the tense regards it as having already happened. So this is a future tense of the word keep or observe. The active voice, an uncircumcised Gentile, fulfills the action of the verb by accomplishing the purpose of the law in adjusting to God's justice without ritual. See, that's what happened with them. They got saved by believing in Jesus. And that was really the end of the law. That was the objective. So, this is a conditional participle that is used as the protasis of a conditional sentence. So we got another one, another if-then coming up. Then the accusative singular from the nomos, that's our word for law, is the objective of the participle. In fact, if he accomplishes the purpose of the law. Now, as I said earlier, what is the purpose of the law? The law is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. So that's the objective. So keeping there's other tertiary objectives, like being a freedom and all that stuff. Yeah, that's involved. But if you can get to Christ with going straight to it by believing, it's as good. You're there. You fulfill the law and all the other expectations that God would place on you. Bang. And that's what the Gentiles were doing. And the Jews were jumping it up and down going crazy because they said, you can't do that. Well, yes, I can. I did. And that's what Paul beat on the Galatians for falling for their lie. Didn't you get all this stuff because you believed in Jesus? And they said, yes. But they came along and made a good story. So they had their phallus cut off. So we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity provided for us to study your word and the blessing it is to have this information so that we are free from the tyranny of legalism, because Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness for all who believe. And that's the end game. That's what the point is, and that's what Paul's making here. He's making the case that these Gentiles have accomplished the objectives without having all that. And the Jews have not, even though they had it, and it's sad. So help us to take advantage of this as we have freedom in our lives. And we ask to thank you in Jesus' name, amen.